Good morning. Can you hear me? Yeah, thank you. It is so wonderful to be with you. Let me just say this. I am deeply, deeply grateful for every one of you and deeply grateful for this church and deeply grateful for the fact that I can be with you this morning. One of the things that I just realized is that church is so much more than a building. It's about the people. And when every time I walk in here, I'm reminded again that this is my church family. You know the old Cheers song? You wanna go where everybody knows your name. You wanna go where everybody knows your name. I'm gonna practice my singing joy. Maybe this afternoon we should. I'm staying with the Malt, and thank you so much for your amazing hospitality. But seriously, I don't say this lightly. I am personally, I'm sure there are others out there, one or two around the world, but I haven't found another body that I feel so at home and comfortable with. And so thank you for being there for us and for carrying us as a church, not just supporting us financially, but standing with us, praying for us. One of the things that blesses me so much is that we pray often together, the missionaries and people in the church, and it's just wonderful to be able to connect. And one of the side benefits of a terrible year of COVID has been the ability to connect virtually. And so thank you so much. I want to thank the leadership of the church, the mission team, especially led by Janet and Eileen and the whole team, thank you for the way in which you care for us. It's so great to hear that Rob and Ben are elders now. Ben, I don't know if you know Ben's story, but he started out in OM, so he must be a good guy, right? Right there, Ben. But it's great, and I bless God for you and Paul. Is Brian still one of them? And Brian and of course, other Paul, thank you so much for leading us. Leadership is not just a gift, it's a responsibility. It's a stewardship. So we pray for you as you lead the congregation. I just want to share a little bit about our family, and then we'll dive into the Word. So that is my precious family, Kathy, my wife of 28 years, and God has been so gracious to us. So Kathy does a lot of spiritual direction and then meeting with people, mentoring people, and then, of course, she runs a small business, which has been decimated because of COVID. She trains executives moving from one country to another. Well, nobody was moving this year. So, but pray for Kathy, and Kathy is doing well, and she sends her greetings, and she just couldn't be here this weekend. Alex is our firstborn. He finished his studies as a mechanical engineer, been working for 3 years, and he finishes his contract with this one company in 2 weeks' time, on the 14th, actually. It's been a really, really difficult year for Alex. Liz, you know him well. The first 2 years were great at this company. This last year, the corporate culture is just so toxic, and they wanted him to do things, and he just said, I cannot, my conscience. And I literally saw Alex wilt before my eyes. And I said, and we said to him, you know, Alex, if you want, because he said, I want to resign. And I said, this is the worst time to resign from a job. And we said, no, we're going to trust God with you. So please pray for him. He's looking for another job. There are opportunities, hopefully, out there for him. So pray for Alex. He just celebrated his birthday on the 22nd last week. Megan, our daughter, I'll never forget. Dan, I think did you baptize Megan? Yeah. And Megan just last Thursday finished medical school, so she's a doctor now. She will graduate on the 13th, and on the 14th, they will take the oath. And on the 12th, they will get married. Sorry, it's the other way around, because you know, because of COVID, everything had to be pushed back. And so they get married on the 12th. And looking forward to that, we agreed that I will that day just be the father of the bride. Shaney, that's why my role that day. So I will most probably say a prayer. But so praise God for Megan. The other thing that you can pray for, and I know some of you prayed, they got their first option of where they wanted to go for the internship. They are going to Paarl, which is just like 35 minutes from Cape Town. And so we are grateful. Megan is absolutely flourishing. The guy to Megan's left is my right, is Eben. And he's Megan's fiance. So during lockdown, we all stayed together, five of us in our home. Eben stayed with us, gave me the opportunity to check out, can this young man braai? And he can. So he's a wonderful young man, and we got to know him, he got to know us. He's also a medical student. He writes two more exams tomorrow and Tuesday, and then he'll be done too, and so they can be placed together. So that's just our family. Ministry-wise, it's been a difficult year. You know, at the beginning, I was saying, I think to Arnold, at the beginning of the year, I was wondering, how am I going to survive this year? I had 12 international trips planned, ministry outside the country. I was just thinking, I love the ministry, travel, not so much. Well, I've had one of those trips, and this is the first time that I've traveled, set my foot on a plane since February this year, when I came up to Johannesburg on Friday. But it's been wonderful as well. So we set up, when COVID hit, we set up a crisis response team, and I was part of that to lead us through this time. And we just said, it takes a certain skill to lead through times of challenge and difficulty and through times of a crisis. And so we set things in motion. I won't bore you with all the details. But one of the things we said, not one of our people, 6,000, should go hungry. We should make sure everyone is cared for. Secondly, what is God saying to us? What are the opportunities? And so the opportunities have just opened up. Our media ministries have just exponentially exploded. So I spoke in September to a group of leaders from Afghanistan, and they've got a media ministry, and they were just saying how the ministry has grown. In London, there's a Turkish fellowship, and they used to get 50 people. Well, now with COVID, they are getting 1,600 Turks online, whom they first are evangelizing and then discipling. So just, I mean, and you can go on and on. So God's been gracious to us in the midst of challenge. Challenges are still there. But we thank God for what he's doing. And I'm leading OM through a process of just reimagining what is God saying to us as we move forward. So we all know that we, you know, I don't think the world will be the same again. So what does that mean for us? How will we change? How will we do church in the future? How will we do ministry, etc.? So pray for us as we do this. Pray for us starting on Tuesday. We've got 3 days of leadership meetings. We were supposed to meet in Atlanta, Georgia. That ain't happening. I'm not traveling to Atlanta. No, the epicenter of COVID. Anyway, we decided we are not traveling, so we will meet virtually. But these are important meetings for us, Monday through to Thursday. And then just lots of other stuff that we're doing. Hopefully you get our newsletter. If you don't, send me a text and I'll forward you our newsletter. So thank you so much for praying for us and for caring for us. A year ago, it sounds like a long time ago, November, I was in Jakarta, Indonesia. And I was, because of my role within the World Evangelical Alliance, I was part of the World Evangelical Alliance General Assembly. We had leaders from all over the world there. The WEA represents about 600 million Christians. And we were just talking through what is God doing in the church and where are we going in the future. One of the things we did was We launched the Year of the Bible for 2020, which I think was so apt. By the way, just as a side issue, Derek, being Indonesia, I suddenly realized, wow, this is part of my heritage where I come from. Because I walk down the street and they start speaking to me in Indonesian. Because I look like them, except I'm taller than them, because Indonesian people are short. So I feel, you know, it's interesting how your own self-image just, you know, I feel tall. But it was so good to be there and then to hear what God is doing in the country with the most number of Muslim people, Indonesia, more than any other country in the world. And the church is growing there. So right then, Indonesia, we decided we will launch the Year of the Bible, only to discover that the Bible Society of South Africa, they celebrated their 200th anniversary this year. So it just all came together. So I sensed that I should say something about the Word of God today. So our theme this morning is rediscovering truth in a world riddled with fake news. Reading from Nehemiah chapter 8. So let me read the passage. If you just bring up the scripture, the first slide, I've also got it right here. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. The entrance of your word gives light, and we pray that you would shed your light upon us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we are introduced to Ezra. Who is Ezra? Well, Ezra first appears in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, when he is sent out by King Zartaxis from Persia to go and meet with the exiles who had just returned to Jerusalem. He is described as priest, as a scholar, as a scribe, and he is schooled in the commandments of the law. And he's coming to teach the law of the Judean God. So in Nehemiah, we are now introduced to Ezra. So think of the leadership like this. Nehemiah was most probably the political leader, and Ezra was the spiritual leader. So we are introduced to Ezra in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, and we'll go through some of the scriptures. I only read a few. So here we see him expanding and expounding upon the scripture. They gather on the first day of October. For those of you old enough, we used to learn this poem in school. Dit is die maand Oktober, die mooiste, mooiste maand. Do you remember that? This is the month October, the most beautiful, beautiful month. And in Pretoria, October is a beautiful month, right? I miss the jacarandas. Well, in Cape Town, it is also quite beautiful. So they meet on the first day of October. Interestingly enough, they gather at the water gate, not at the temple, which signified that firstly, and all the people meet together, right? So it's men, women, children, they all meet. And two things, two observations here. The word is for everyone. Everyone can hear the word of God. Not just the elites, but every single person, ordinary people, people who are well-schooled, etc. But secondly, the word is available everywhere. You can read the word everywhere. Note, they didn't read the word in the temple. They read it at the water gate. So you can read the word literally everywhere. I met with some leaders a few years ago, and one of them is the director of the Bible Society for Southeast Asia. And at that stage, this was a few years ago, this was 10 years ago, they had printed 54 million Bibles in China for China. And so just the word can be read anywhere. I hope that you read it at home, wherever you are. So I just want to make a few observations about this passage of Scripture. The first one is we need to open the Word. If you go to verses 3, 5, and 8, it says, "And they opened the Word of God." Brothers and sisters, let me share with you one of my concerns for this next generation and for the church in general. And my concern is that we're raising up a generation of biblically illiterate people, people who don't read the word. And I pray that you will hold the word of God precious. Because in times of great uncertainty, like we are this year, we can only cling to the word, right? Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." So why should we open the word? Well, firstly, for guidance. "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." There are so many uncertainties today, and we need the word for guidance. We need the word for clarity. We are living in days of the Shepherd Bashiris and Amatosas and all these charlatans, and they sound genuine, but it is so fake. And so we need discernment. We need the word for discernment. You know, you can just see the deception with people like those whom I've just mentioned, but often deception is subtle. And that is where we need to be so careful, and we need to read the word for ourselves. But secondly, why do we need to open the word? It helps us in our battle against sin. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So one of the things that has helped me, I think many of you know my story, but 2 weeks after I became a follower of Christ, I went to Bible school. And one of the things I learned at Bible school, our Bible school principal, he was big into Romans. He used to say, "You can find anything in Romans. Just read Romans." And one of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Right, Christine? You know that verse? Do you want to come up and share with us? No, I'm not going to embarrass you. "Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God." And so when I'm tempted, and I'm tempted often enough, I remember this and I start saying, "I am dead to that sin. I'm dead to that," like, you know, whatever that may be, greed or gossip or whatever. Now, I don't always get it right, but I say, "I am dead to that." And I would often say, "Get behind me, Satan, fake Satan." And as they say in Shangan, Robert, "Famba, Satani, famba," right? And so just to be able to say, I'm dead to sin, but alive to God. It helps us in our battle against sin. But then we fill our minds with truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. There are so many lies out there. In these days of social media, we have seen it amplified, and fake news has just grown. But of course, it's always been there, right? Fake news has always been there. I remember a few years ago, I have a good friend who is a friend of Herschel Gibbs. And I met Herschel. We watched a game of soccer together. And so I said to my friend, wow, it is so terrible to see that Herschel Gibbs broke his arm in a practice match. For those of you who don't know Herschel Gibbs, he was a cricket player, South African cricket player. That he broke his arm in a cricket match or cricket practice. And he said, actually, Peter, the real story is he was drunk one night at 2 o'clock in the morning. The police started chasing him, and he got away from the police, managed to get away, had to jump over a wall, and as he jumped over the wall, he broke his arm. And the next day in the news media, it said, Herschel Gibbs, so unfortunately, broke his arm in a cricket practice match. And so I go, what do you believe? And this is where we need to be so careful that we truly get behind the truth of the story. Please may I encourage us, because we are so believing often as believers, as followers of Christ. Let us discern before we send on WhatsApps. I tell you, I receive so many WhatsApp. And especially, Roger, if someone sends a WhatsApp to say, if you don't pass this on, this message will die with you, and who knows what will happen to you. That is exactly the signal for me not to send on the WhatsApp. So we need to be discerning. We believe so many lies about God, about ourselves, and about others. About God, we believe these lies about God, that God is this terrible person who's just there to punish me. Some years ago, Marius will remember this, we used to have these camps, and we called them Life Direction camps. And I was speaking at the Life Direction camp about your life has value. And afterwards, a lady came up to me and she said, Peter, I would so like to believe that, but that's not my experience. My experience is God takes you by the hand, leads you into the depths of a forest, and when you are there all alone, he says, let's go of your hand, and he says, now you get out by yourself. And I said, that is such a lie that you are believing about God. And so we could sit down, go through the word, what does the word say? So we believe these lies about God. Read through scripture and you will see God is good. God is for us, not against us. But we also believe lies about ourselves. I will never amount to much. There's nothing good about me. And I cannot tell you how many people I come across who have these issues. I mean, people like Arnold and others and Paul who counsel people, you would know. Just people believe these lies about themselves. What does God say about you? What does the word say about you? The word says we are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image, and he cares for us. I am God's beloved. Even if no one else thinks I'm special, God thinks I'm special. But then also the lies we believe about other people. Sometimes we don't even know these people, but we make up our minds about them. It is what we call prejudice, because we prejudge others. Whether it is the way they look, their size, their build, where they come from, the color of their skin, or whatever. We can so easily prejudge people without knowing them. One of my practices now for a while is, especially when I meet new people, I say to them, please tell me your story. Because everyone has a story. And when you hear people's story, you know they are just like you. Brothers and sisters, one of the reasons we need to read the word is because we live in an era of relativity. Everything is relative, right, Marlene? It's like, if it's truth for you, doesn't mean it's truth for me. No, what does the word say? And so often people say, no, you can't tell me what to do. So we need to read the word and be sure that we have a heart that's filled with truth. By the way, truth is not just a concept. Truth is a person. And that person is Jesus. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Next, it helps us grow in our faith walk. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As I said, we live in days of great uncertainty. And so often, our first course of action is to go to the philosophers, the political and social commentators. Yo, what does the word say? And then quickly, we need to rush this morning. Not only do we need to open the word, we need to understand the word. Just look at verse 8. They opened the word and they understood what they were reading. The Bible is not a novel. The Bible is not meant to be read for our information only, but the Bible is meant to be read for our transformation. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need to study the word. You know, when Jesus was tempted, they didn't have Google back there. You couldn't say, well, let me first see what does Google say. No, what did he say? It is written. And often in the Gospels, you will see Jesus quoting scripture in the Old Testament. How did he know that? Because he studied the scripture. When the apostles would write the letters of the letters in the Bible, the epistles, they would quote Old Testament scripture. How did they know that? Because they studied the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May I plead with you, do not only read the word, but study the word as well. Memorize scripture. A scripture that's become very real for me in the last month or two when I read it the first time and I memorized it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So, Derek, when I'm tempted to complain and grumble, give thanks in all circumstances. Study the word. Study the word in community. I have a philosophy. I can never grow to my full potential by myself. Let me just say that again. If you think you can just be a lone ranger, I sort of feel sorry for you. We need the community. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for my small group, that we could study the word together, but also for them to share our joys, our challenges, etc. So be part of a community. If you're not part of a small group, may I encourage you. Maybe with COVID, it's a bit difficult for all the groups to meet, but may I encourage you. There are some great tools out there to help you study. Last I checked, we had a great library. Do we still have a library? Please ask Pastor Paul and some of the other leadership for tools and study the word. I just read a statistic yesterday. A recent study in the U.S. found that 41% of all adults in the workplace struggle with mental health issues like anxiety and depression stemming from the pandemic. And then this number increased to 75% among those 18 to 24 years old. Just the stress and anxiety. We need one another. We need the community. And then just lastly, the response. How did they respond to the reading of the word? Verse 9 says, they wept as the word was read. So the first way they responded was verse 10. They celebrated the word. Why did they celebrate the word? Do you remember they came out of exile? It took 70 years, and they sensed that God had forgotten them. And again, I think I've mentioned this from this pulpit. Read Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon we sat down. They who took us into captivity said, sing us the songs of Zion. And they just said, we've lost our song. So they celebrated the opening of the word after 70 years. It meant God is speaking to us. God is not silent. Let me say this to us as a church family and as a people of God. God is still speaking. He is not silent. Yes, the world is going through a challenge that none of us have gone through in our lifetime or in our history. But God is still, we used to sing the song, God is still on the throne. And they celebrated the fact that God was speaking to them. Secondly, they brought their obedience up to date. And I'm quoting a well-known pastor, Roger Vogt. Those of you who remember Roger Vogt, he would say, bring your obedience up to date. And that's what they did. They reinstituted the Feast of Tabernacles. And they did what God had said they must do. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything that God's been speaking to you about that you have been neglecting? A relationship, a habit or practice, or something that we should be doing or should not be doing? And you know in your heart what that may be. Now, especially when you felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, right? And so just bring your obedience up to date. And then lastly, they repented. Chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. When they read the word, they came and they said sorry to God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if there's something that you need to confess. God is faithful, and he will forgive. In conclusion, Jesus told the story of two people who embarked on a building project to build homes. And he said, the one built on sand, and the other built on a rock. Which house survived? It's the one who built on the rock, right? Let's build our lives on the word of God. Will you make a commitment to read the word, to study the word, and to allow the word to shape your belief and your behavior? I said earlier, the word is not just for our information, but it is for our transformation. Allow the word to transform you. Let's pray together, and then the worship team will come up. Let's just be quiet for a few seconds as we reflect on what God may be saying to me individually. Let's just be quiet. Father God, it is so true that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. Give us
the grace, Lord, to not just read your word, but to study your word and to then obey your word, to allow the word to shape us. Thank you for the preciousness of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, brothers and sisters.